We have to state where we are now, if we are in fact going to then move forwards. We have to recognise the things that stop us moving forward, because if we're not going to recognise them, then they're always going to be there. They're going to be a stumbling block for us. You know, you can trip over the same stone 100 times if you don't recognise that it's there. When you recognise it's there and you pick it up and you throw it away, you're not going to trip over it again. You've got to name what's in front of you in order to move forward. We have to acknowledge that sin is not in us. Okay? Sin leads to death, and God made us for life. Christ refused sin, and Christ is in us. The power of Christ to refuse sin is in us. And we need to recognize that. We need to recognize that repentance, the scriptures tell us, is sweet. Yeah? Might not feel sweet. Might not taste sweet all the time. But repentance is sweet because of the fruit that comes from it. Paul writes that in 2 Corinthians 7. We're cleansed when we repent. It's more than simply confession. But confession is the starting point. Naming our sin. If we hear the words that we say as we say something that we know is sin and we want to repent for, then we hand it over to God and request his forgiveness. My personal opinion is that confession isn't a long lost rite. It's not something that just Catholics do. It's for all who say Jesus Christ is Lord. It's for all who want to come to him and repent because they know they're not perfect. They know they've fallen short. The act of confession is actually something I think the church has neglected. That people have taught against because of the idea of it being connected so much to the Catholic Church and the confessional booth. You can get that picture of confession out of your head, but still James says, confess to one another. Yes, Jesus is our mediator. But that banner of Christ is my mediator, so I don't need to confess to anybody, because Christ knows what's going on, doesn't quite cut it. Because we need to confess to one another. I have accountability relationships with a few different pastors in this country and a few back in England as well. Where I'm like, we'll talk, and they'll say how things are going, and I'll say the truth. And they'll say, and what are you going to do about it? And I'll tell them what I feel I should be doing about it. And a couple of weeks later when we meet again, they'll say, did you do it? I know that question is coming. And that helps me to put plans in place and actually act on them. Yeah? Accountability within confession is important. Yes, I'm not disagreeing. Christ is our mediator. He is the only one who can forgive. But if you confess something to someone else and they are a believer, how good is it to hear words spoken over you? You are forgiven. That's not them forgiving you. That's them reminding you that Christ has forgiven you. You are forgiven. How releasing those words can be. And yet, we sometimes think, well, it's not my place to forgive other people. It's not my place to tell them Jesus forgives them. How different is it, one of you speaking those words of forgiveness, than it is me on a Sunday morning in church, assuring you of pardon, or speaking an absolution of God's forgiveness? Yes, Christ forgives, but sometimes we're called to be the voice of Christ to others. So having recognized and then moved into repenting, to to confessing our sins, to receiving God's forgiveness. 1 John tells us that if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins. We need to be willing to deal with the roots, what causes sin. Especially if we had let it become inherent. If it's become a second nature to us. If it's repetitive. What's causing it? And often, it could be something simple as tiredness. I'm so cranky if I'm really tired. And when I'm cranky, I say things I shouldn't say. Tiredness and not resting well and resting appropriately leads me to sin. So how do I deal with the root? I train my kids to sleep. Not easy. If I can't do that, how do I deal with the root? I make sure I build in time of rest every day, which might not be sleep, but it's at least downtime that allows my batteries to recharge so that I don't get into difficult discussions and arguments and become too hyped up. Again, we are not tested beyond that which we can handle. And so in order to combat the devil and submit to God, we need to come near to God. We need to rest with God. We need to resist the devil so that he doesn't have a handle on us, so that he can't twist our ear. Because once he realizes he's not going to get in, he will flee away. James writes that in chapter 4. He will flee away. But be aware, because I just said with tiredness, stress. These things give a window for the devil to come back. To put a little string around our ear and yank our head. When we are at our weakest, he senses it and he comes after us. But also when we are at our weakest, God's strength is seen the most. If we are living in his word, if we are going for a true life, if we are going for a full life, living in the Spirit, then even when we are tired, even when we are stressed, even when we are cranky, even when we are suffering with flu, or with a cold, or we just run down, we can still be reliant on God, and we can still say to the devil, not today. And all of this leads us to the point where we then need to look at replacing that which we know to be a wrong attitude, a wrong way of life, connecting with the things that we shouldn't be connecting with. How do we correct that? How do we get ourselves away from that? How do we move to be more kingdom-oriented? For example, we can move from insecurity to trust and growing in risk-taking. We can move from shame to claiming forgiveness and to walking in openness. We can move from hopelessness to claiming hope and speaking positivity. We can move from self-pity to focusing on others and letting go of the failures which we allow to control us. We can move from complacency to allowing accountability and challenge in our lives. We can move from greed to trusting and to generosity. We can move from having a critical spirit to speaking words of praise and getting involved positively. We can move from lust to honoring others and forming positive relationships. We can move from anger to holding our tongue and to expressing feelings with care. So a lot of that's about discipline. And as Proverbs 15:32 tells us, those who disregard discipline despise themselves. But those who heed correction gain understanding. So are you ready for the challenge? Are you ready to step out of the old life and into the new, into this pure life, which Paul writes in Ephesians 4 like this. Put your old self off, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, Put on your new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Be ready to grow. Learn from your mistakes. But be careful, because the things we learn most from when it comes to failures isn't tips for success. It's how to cling to God in our weakness. The thing we learn the most from mistakes is how we can cling to God in our weakness. So just to close today, I want to read a quote from C.S. Lewis. He says, "We may indeed be sure that perfect chastity, like perfect charity, will not be attained by any merely human effort. You must ask for God's help, even when you have done so. It may seem for you a long time no help is come, or less help than you need is being given. Never mind. After each failure, ask forgiveness. Pick yourself up and try again. Very often what God first helps towards is not the virtue itself, but just the power of always trying again. For however important chastity, or courage, or truthfulness, or any other virtue may be, this process trains us in habits of the soul, which are more important still. It cures our illusions about ourselves. It teaches us to depend on God. We lean on the one hand that we cannot trust ourselves, even in our best moments, and on the other, that we need not despair, even in our worst. For our failures are forgiven. The only fatal thing is to sit down content with anything less than perfection." So keep searching. Recognize where you are. Repent when you fall, and replace that which causes your stumble with a kingdom alternative.